slip a nipple into some kid's mouth.
You can't. No.
Unless you're the mother or you're a wet nurse.
And yeah, and you're a slip, right.
But
and
no.
It's 1842.
Yes.
Right.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, so I want to kick off today a little story here from a local free paper. This happened in the West Village. And this is actually an advisory for women out there. Beware. There's a subway thief who is grabbing sneakers from the feet of women as they are wearing them.
Hold on. Yes. How does he get them to sit still that long?
He doesn't. F and Q train riders, beware. There's a guy out there who might take your shoes. Cops are looking for a sneaker snatcher described as a white male in his 30s.
A foot fetish guy.
Yeah, who has taken two shoes from women in the West Village. On September 11th, he removed the right shoe of a woman as she was ascending the stairs on the Q train at West 8th Street, and he fled with a black Adidas sneaker pictured.
Get out.
So this woman is walking up the stair. What would you do? I would be so mad. I would have to immediately go buy a pair of shoes. Because you can't
walk around. There's a couple of issues here. First of all, you're in motion.
Yes.
And using the thing on the bottom of your foot.
Yes.
Is now being ripped off your
body. As you lift it. This guy is supple.
But also, that must not be like a tightly tied sneaker. It must be like a Keds that you can kind of whip off.
No, it has a picture here. It's an Adidas sneaker. You know how after you work out,
yeah,
you can pull your shoe off
yeah.
a little bit. So we can assume that it's like on, but not tightly. But this guy
takes
two, like a millisecond and fled with the shoe. I wonder if he held it up and was like, ha-ha.
You know, when you started this, I thought maybe they're sitting on a bench or on
That's what I thought when I saw the headline. That's boring.
Where's the fun in that?
This is New York City. Yeah. So he snatched that Adidas. And then on October 2nd, the same dude, again, he was walking. There was a woman walking to the F train, and he removed the right sneaker. And then he fled.
I have no idea. And where's he going? Where does he think he's going?
He's probably got just a room full of shoes. Like, just tons and tons of women's shoes.
I would write a little essay about each one, how it was procured. And then frame it and stick it next to the shoe.
The best thing about this whole thing is it's larceny. It's grand larceny. Like, this is a serious crime. This is not just a regular old, like, this is not like he's just snatching a ballet slipper and running out. Like, this is a serious crime.
Yeah.
I can't, like, it's so bizarre. I was thinking about it, like, I would never be on the lookout for someone down by my foot.
Right.
Waiting to snatch my shoe.
I'm aware of my purse all the time.
Yeah.
And my pockets.
And now you got to keep an eye on your
butt.
Feet. Yes. And yes. Because that will get grabbed.
The butt will get grabbed.
No problem.
Goosed. You get goosed all the time.
I have to admit, though, today I accidentally assaulted a man with my hand.
Did you really?
I was swinging my hands freely. One thing led to another.
And it made contact.
It made contact.
Did he flinch?
It wasn't that. It wasn't hard. The hit wasn't hard. I just fled. Because what was I going to say?
It's so embarrassing.
I didn't want to look back. And it was obviously, you know, a mistake.
Yeah.
It's a freebie for you. Guy on the shuttle train.
I'm sure he loved it.
Yes.
I'm sure. I was playing paper ball with a group of people. Paper ball, if you don't know, you stand in a circle and you have made a paper ball out of paper and you tape it up so it's like just, you know, a fake ball that you make.
Okay.
It's the size of a baseball.
Is this an office game?
Yeah. It's just whatever. Or it's an improv game. It makes you work with each other and you can't catch the ball. You have to hit it to each other with
your
hand. And see how many times you can hit it as a group.
Slow.
Yeah, I know.
Office Olympics.
And so I hit it, and it totally, like, spiked it, and it hit the guy in his pants.
Did you accidentally spike it, or did you, like, jump up? Was it like a volleyball?
Yeah. I got too enthusiastic. I shouldn't have done it.
Did you hit the carpet afterwards?
I was like, but everyone was like, because it was...
Yeah, back to work, everybody.
Clearly hit him in the pants.
Oh.
And it was like, well, what does he do? What do I do? And I'm like, they all just left.
Everyone just backs off quietly. Like, I think I heard an email come in just now. And I'm pretty sure that's what that was. I'm just going to go back to my desk.
It's kind of what
happened. Can't believe this. They're going to, I mean, because I'm just imagining he's like a white male in his 30s. Like, that's all they have to say about him. That's a lot of dudes. This is worse than the description of like black men. It's like,
why can't he just
black.
buy shoes and have women pay women to wear them? It's not
cheap.
Fun.
I just don't, I mean, I would be, you know how I feel about shoes. Yeah. I have a lot of shoes. I might have to hop after him.
I think so. He would get hit with my purse.
Yes.
If he's on the stair. Yeah.
It's just such a weird thing. He's like, exactly. If I were sitting somewhere and not paying attention and then whoosh, the shoe was off. But as I'm on the hoof.
Yeah.
As I lift one foot jet, poof.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Good luck
to him. So bizarre.
I can't wait to find out who he is. When we find out who he is, we're going to just...
I hope it's a famous person. It's like Edward Norton.
Ethan Hawke. I can see Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
It's Shia LaBeouf again. He's drunk and he's out. He's snatching Adidas and Nike.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't wear tennis shoes, so I guess I'm okay. You don't either.
I know. I have
flip-flops. But if he came after a flip-flop.
If he came after one of my flip-flops, which listeners I wear all the time.
Or a loafer in my case.
Yeah.
We're going to be screwed. All right. What do you have?
Well, we have a listener iTunes review.
I know. I discovered this.
You did
discover it. It's very exciting.
Yes. And it says, great show, ladies. Love the Hey You Know It. 5 stars.
Yes.
On iTunes.
That's the only way it gets read.
By Dark707.
Dark707.
Yeah.
I like that.
Ladies, I just discovered your podcast. I love your show. I discovered you on Stitcher, and I can't turn it off. Jaquetta and Katie, you are the perfect match.
That's nice.
I'm spreading the word to everyone. Peter.
And apparently he did, because for some bizarre reason, last week we, like, quadrupled the amount of people that listened to the show.
Yeah. Was that you, Peter? Dark707?
Yeah, was it you?
Was it you who spread it? Because it was suddenly we got a massive spike.
Yeah.
And we love it.
Do you know 4 times as many people as we do? Because they all listened to the show last week.
Yeah. It was amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your mailing address, and we'll get you out one of the remaining shot glasses.
There's only a few left.
It's just a handful.
There's one going out tomorrow.
Yeah.
So hurry up, people.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to give out next. Just like greetings.
A handwritten card.
Thanks. Yeah, a handwritten note.
Yeah. Right.
Or in my case, just something scrawled on the journal.
Right.
So what do you have?
I have here 13 simple tricks to a long and happy marriage.
Okay.
Oof. We've been talking a lot about, like, from Love Panky, and it's like...
Is this from Love Panky?
This is from the Post.
Okay.
Huffington Post.
Really? Oh, Huffington Post. Okay. So someone wrote it for free.
Yeah, all right. Basically. It was really a Reddit thread. And then, of course, you know.
I don't understand Reddit. I just know that there's never a real article on there. But there's plenty of stuff for us.
There's a lot of people.
We should have our own hikey Reddit.
We should.
This kind of is Reddit, isn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
A little bit. But, you know, we talk a lot about flirting and dating. And you're right. Now you're in a marriage.
Yeah. Because you've made it through all the other lists. And it's worked.
Yeah.
You've stolen the woman. Or you've gotten the guy back. Or you're sleeping with your sister's husband. Whatever it is. And it's working.
You made eye contact and touched in a way.
You guess what's on their mind.
Right.
But it worked. So now you're in a marriage and you want to stay in it.
Yeah. But it's no secret that marriage takes work.
Mm-hmm.
After all, we're only human, and humans make mistakes,
have
bad days, and sometimes even forget to load the dishwasher again.
What is with that? I wish I had a dishwasher. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
The dishwasher is me.
And you get loaded.
Yes. I never forget to get loaded.
All right. Nevertheless, some couples are able to foster happy, healthy, totally awesome marriages.
Mm-hmm. My marriage is totally awesome.
Yeah, that's when you took your vows.
Yes.
Do you promise to have a totally awesome marriage?
Dude, where's my bridesmaid? Totally awesome.
Okay.
All right. Tubular honeymoon. My God. All right.
Okay, they asked happily hitched to reveal their secrets to marital success, and this is what they had to say. 1, be nice. Choose kindness whenever you can.
This is in every relationship.
I know.
Really,
be nice.
You know what? Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick
to your spouse.
Yeah, you should at least be as nice to your spouse as you would a stranger, or
what?
How you were when you started dating. Sometimes I'm not nice to strangers.
No, I just punched a guy in the dick. I didn't know who he was.
He could have taken your shoe.
Yes, he could have. He looked the type. He was white, male, in his 30s, I guess.
Yeah. 2, enjoy each other's company.
Okay.
My wife and I are each other's best friend. We like each other's company. We like having fun. We like doing stuff together. We're honest and direct with one another.
See, I want to hear the advice for the people are not compatible, but they still want to have a long, happy marriage.
Yeah. They suffer through each other's presence.
Yes.
That would be it.
Don't listen to anything she says.
Suffer silently.
Yeah.
Look in the other direction when they're talking.
Look slightly to the left of your spouse.
And yawn.
And yawn.
Okay, number three, say I love you as much as possible. No.
It can get old.
Yeah. Overuse I love you? Seriously. Just say it to him or her like 5 times and mean it.
Repeatedly.
Is that 5 times throughout the marriage?
I think it's just, ending? I love you. Until you believe it.
It's like a mammoth exercise.
Yes.
Not mammon, it was a Meisner exercise.
Because you keep repeating it until it turns into, I hate you.
Yeah.
Until something changes.
Right. Yeah. Look at them and say, I love you so much. You mean the world to me. I appreciate all the things you do for me and our family.
You just read it. I like it if you don't have a family. You just say that anyway. I appreciate all the things you do for us and our children. Like, who?
A family of two. Yeah. Maybe more.
That's what it says on the paper.
5, limit outside influences.
Don't let anybody up in your marriage.
Yeah, and it says
here. Like Mia Farrow.
It says out-of-state in-laws, that way. But that's like...
Out-of-state in-laws?
Yeah.
Specifically.
That's what it says. And I thought the same thing, limit outside influences. Like, don't let that bee get too close to your man.
No, it's actually, if you have in-laws that live in Delaware or something...
That's great.
Don't let them in. Yeah.
Just keep them there.
Keep them out.
Yeah, but if they come for a visit, then, you know...
I have not had that situation. I don't understand that. If I were an in-law, I wouldn't be coming to my kids. I don't know.
Hi, we're here.
Yeah, we're here to stay with you and not in a hotel.
Yeah.
For some reason. Because we hate you. And we hate ourselves.
We want to eat your food, see how you live, and then talk about it later.
We want to make everyone real uncomfortable.
And see how, to let everyone know how subpar it is.
Yes. He should have never made that bee. Right.
Talk about this, see your linen closet, see what kind of talents you have.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. But I thought it was more about other people. Get them away.
It's just those out-of-state in-laws. Yeah. You know how that is.
Small tokens of love go a long way.
Not too small, though.
Yeah. Lots of wee lovings.
Who
wrote that?
Wee loving.
It's like one of those, a person who does arts and crafts probably wrote that.
What is
Lots of wee lovings. Frequent demonstrations.
That's what I'm thinking. Those onion head kids?
Yeah.
Oh, those are terrible.
Those little onion.
Oh, here's a figurine of, you know, to represent our love. That's awful. People must like that shit.
Yeah. When I think of our love, I think of this Hummel represents it.
Here, how about a set of commemorative Elvis plates with the Franklin Mint? to commemorate.
Frequent demonstrations in the form of gifts and expressions of affection, which indicate your emotional addiction. Ew.
Oh.
They're all off on this one.
Yeah, this is someone who's like...
Don't keep giving me stuff. Don't give me stuffed animals. Yeah, I don't want a stuffed animal.
I don't want a lot of stuff either. But at least are they going to try to sell us something in one of these tips? Because this is terrible.
Yeah.
This was in the Huffington Post?
Yeah.
She don't care.
She doesn't.
At all. This is what happens when you don't pay people.
Right. And they're going to put all this stuff up on your... If you have a company, this is the kind of stuff they're going to do if they don't pay you.
Yeah.
Guess what? All right. Distance, number 7. Distance can... And 7 if you're counting people.
Yes.
Distance can and will make the heart grow fonder.
Get out.
Yeah, have a look.
And keep moving. Come around on Wednesdays.
And Saturday.
Maybe Saturday mornings. That's it. But be out by Saturday afternoon because it gets old fast. You can't imagine how wee a leaving can be if you hang around too long.
Leave your Hummel.
Yes.
And go. Number 10, be your own person. One must understand the importance of we, but also remember there will always be you and I.
Nothing, there's no cutesy little like.
Yeah.
No.
It's so easy to think of yourself as one person once you get married or start dating, but you always have to remember you're both completely separate individuals.
What? Oh, okay, Susan, it's easy to think of the two of you together.
Like, if I'm with you and I'm just like, would you like this, what would you like, a fry? And you would say, we love fries.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. Because you're like, thinking about you and your husband and how much you like fries.
I still...
I'm like, I know.
Everybody knows my husband, but I still say Greg, my husband, sometime to
people. Yeah.
Like, no, you don't know him.
The other Greg. Who's that 20%?
That 20%.
The 20% Greg.
The wee
that we don't know.
The we leaving.
Built a strong foundation in friendship. You have to be friends.
Yeah, that whatever. Helps.
Of course, you're going to have a sexual aspect, but that's not enough to...
80-20 again, people. Except this time it's 60-40.
You're going to go through hard times, and you need someone who you want to spend your time with when it's hard.
Ugh. Get a dog.
It always makes me think of the Depression. You're in hard times, and you're making pea soup.
Hard times. Did anyone in your family tell you about the Depression?
Yes. My grandmother was alive during the Depression, but she and her family...
Did they party?
They lived in Pennsylvania, okay. And she had eight other brothers and sisters, Italian.
So it was always the Depression.
It was always the Depression. They didn't even have anybody. They said she didn't even notice. She was like, whatever, it was the same, because they were broke.
That's what I like about this recession, because I hear people saying that. They're like, I was poor in 2007.
Yeah, so...
2008 happened, still fine. Poor.
Right. She's like, yeah, so other people lost stuff. Yeah. They were still making wine.
We jumped out of the bottom story window.
Yeah.
Nothing happened. Like, that was it.
They would go to the train tracks, and they would, when the livestock cars would go by, the conductors would throw out the dead chicken from the chicken car.
Because they saw people needed food?
No, because...
Oh, it wasn't even that nice.
It wasn't even that nice. This was a different America.
Yeah.
They had... The cars were filled with live chicken, and the chicken would trample each other. Mm-hmm. They weren't put in little cages, nice cages.
They were free range.
And some of them would die. And so they were just like, well, just... They can't let them rot. They had to go across country.
That's a terrible job to have to go through and sort out a dead chicken.
So they would just throw them to the side of the tracks, and then my grandmother and her brothers and sisters would pick them up and bring them home to eat.
Hey,
that's right.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah, Depression.
They were gonna die and get eaten anyway.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
So bizarre. Free chicken. But just to fling them out like that.
Yeah,
they would throw out some veal.
I know. that's how it was. That was 1929.
Wow, that's interesting.
Or earlier. She was born 1907. Anyway, she knew her way.
I didn't hear any stories of anyone in my family. No. But considering that they're all black, they were probably like, "Oh, what happened?" Because I'm sure they were broke before, and they were broke afterwards. In the 40s, they were probably like, is that depression over yet? Because we're still broke as shit. Like, what's going on? Plus, it was in the country.
Yeah.
So I think there was nothing to lose. Like, I don't think anyone had these stocks in my family.
And, art and fancy, Great Gatsby parties were going on.
Not in my family.
Not my family.
Like, that's when we stopped drinking the bathtub gin and moved to the bathtub gin.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
This is a little surprising. This is from the Wall Street Journal. It's a crime piece.
Oh.
Now, okay. Apparently in England, they do things a little bit differently. Basically, people have been burrowing underground.
What?
And then popping up in stores and stealing shit.
Nice.
So there's a group of people.
I kind of like that.
It says an underground heist by the Mole Gang in Manchester. So basically,
I'm sure they get a lot of tail. The Mole Gang. What a sexy name.
The thieves base themselves in the basement of an empty apartment next door to the store, and they drilled through the 12-inch wall, and they surfaced in the shop's basement. And when they got inside, they sprayed, this is like, they're watching too many films from the 80s. They sprayed shaving cream on the security camera.
No, they didn't. Yes,
they set off the
then
shaving
cream. Then they had 30 seconds to get what they needed because it'll melt right off.
But then it was a bodega. So guess how little money they were able to get.
All that work?
Yeah, they took a small amount of cash. They stole a lot of liquor and they ate most of the guy's ice creams. And then they left. But the guy who runs the bodega said they didn't even finish their magnums before they left. So basically, a lot of in the UK, people are tunneling under ATMs. They're tunneling from one store to the next and then popping up and trying to steal stuff. And the most bizarre thing about it is it's not easy to build these tunnels.
No, it's
at
not.
All.
It's a ton of work.
Yes.
They could take their focus and their efforts and do something more profitable, no?
They consulted some engineers, and they were like, these guys must either be really lucky or know what they're doing. So the police said that they're asking people if they saw anybody covered with dirt. They said they're looking for guys who were seen running from this convenience store and then covered with soil.
Anyone, do you see any soiled men running about?
See, this is what happens when you don't have guns, I guess.
Yeah.
People get creative.
But also, you know what kind of it reminds me of? Like, the stories of people that, like, former soldiers when they were at war, and they just... They didn't like the war, but they liked the camaraderie of working together with other guys and bonding around something.
You know, they
would
know how to
build
a tunnel.
Yeah.
That I'm thinking about. Also, I'm thinking about guys from, like, World War II, though.
Yeah.
These are not these guys.
Right. And so they're like, hey, you know, a couple of guys get together, and they're like, let's do a heist. And so it takes a lot of time to figure it out and build the tunnel, and they get to work together. And they probably just like that, because they don't even need the ice cream.
Well, I'm guessing that they thought there'd be more money in a convenience store. But this is what I like about, they had the intelligence to put together this plan and to build the tunnel, but they didn't think far enough ahead to be like, you know, there's probably not a shitload of cash in the bodega.
Because it wasn't the point.
That's not the point. It was the job.
The hanging it out.
So bizarre.
Hanging out together and executing it.
Yeah, they burrow in, they grab cash, they grab ice cream. One group did actually get an ATM. But unfortunately, they hit it right after Christmas, and instead of 60 grand, it had like 6 grand in it.
Aww.
So it's like these guys, they can't catch a break.
Oh,
it's like,
no.
So they find these tunnels, they find like, you know, like little shovels in them, and like all, you know, snacks and all this kind of stuff. For like a small amount of money.
And maybe it's like, dig the tunnel, and then there's ice cream.
Yeah, but there's ice cream at the end.
Yeah. I'd go.
It's very interesting. Yeah, someone was telling me a story about, this happened in New York recently, a guy robbed somebody wearing a pantyhose over his head.
Oh, no.
And I'd just like to remind criminals out there, the reason why you see that in films is they're wearing a pantyhose so you can see the actor, and that the actor can still speak. So it's not really what you're supposed, you know what I mean? Like, you're not supposed to be doing it.
That's not
so you can
real
see
choice.
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
You know, and you know who it is.
That is so funny.
So, yeah, people continue to... And I was asking him, I was like, well, what color was the pantyhose? Like, was it a nude pantyhose? Like, what was it?
Yeah,
did it match the flesh tone of the person who was robbing it? Yes, of course it did.
Oh, no.
Because they're just going and getting, like, women's, you know, what is it? Sandalwood?
And, you know, the thing is the
tan?
The crotch. Of the pantyhose. It's like, if you haven't seen a pair of pantyhose up close, listeners, it's like a panel in the crotch.
Yes.
A white one.
Yes.
It's like, da-da.
And I guess that's hanging off the guy's head as well.
Yeah. Unless you tie it up tight.
I guess.
With the legs. And then you have legs hanging off.
But the point is, the only way that we won't see your face is if you can't see out.
Yeah.
And that's not really going to work in a heist. So I'm just saying, pantyhose, no. Wear like Daft Punk style helmet.
Yeah, right. That's
figure
what
something
we
out.
Need to see. That would be some fashionable,
exactly.
Fancy hipster stuff.
So, right, what do you have?
I have, well, this is the listener email with advice.
Oh, cool.
This is...
is this advice on advice?
This is going to be advice on advice,
all right, awesome.
Yes.
But so we're about to break into a hybrid. We got listener mail / advice on advice. Advice on advice is a segment that we do where we find advice or someone sends it in from the internet, and the advice stinks.
Yes.
It's unqualified,
and
we improve upon it by giving advice on that advice. So what's the advice?
It's from Rhonda M.
Oh, nice. Thanks, Rhonda.
Yeah. So thank you very much for sending it. And she says, hey, ladies, this is an oldie but goodie. I don't remember this one being discussed on the show. It's from Dear Prudence, and the first one is...
I can't believe there's still more Prudence left.
I know. She goes, I don't know about you two, but I immediately thought of The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, and I'd love to hear your take.
Okay,
Rhonda.
Now I have to remember that movie. Is that the one where the woman's breastfeeding someone else's kid?
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah, she's like, you know, wants to take the place of the family. Okay. This one is called A Breast Too Far.
Oh, no! Okay. A breast too far? Okay.
Yes. That question. This is from breastfeeding mother-in-law. I had a baby 2 months ago.
Stop. Breastfeeding mother-in-law?
Yeah.
Okay.
About 2 weeks ago, my husband had to go out of town for a few days, so his mother came to stay with the baby and me. One night, I heard the baby crying, and I heard my mother-in-law go to him. I thought she was just bringing him to me to nurse, so I stayed in bed for a while. When she didn't bring him, I figured she was rocking him back to sleep. And
I'm giving
home
alone face on this.
Yeah,
this is creepy.
If she needed anything, like a bottle from the fridge.
Some milk, for example.
Oh, my God. When I entered the room, I saw her holding my son to her breast, letting him suckle.
Was anything coming out of it?
No.
Just hatred.
Hatred, resentment.
Scorn.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I was and am livid. I took my son back to my room.
I'm still livid. If you're reading this in the future, still livid.
You're still livid. Right? Yeah. No matter when you hear this.
Livid.
She's livid. I took my son back to my room and told her
she snatched that kid up. I would have,
like, give me.
With one hand and backhanded that one with the other.
Right. I told her she had to leave the first thing in the morning. I want to call the police.
Why wait?
Right. I want to call the police, but my husband thinks that would be taking things too far.
What are the police going to do?
We're at an impasse. Like, should we call the police? I'm hesitant to let her near my son again. Wow. Yeah, this is a problem. She's got a problem.
It's a huge problem.
This is a massive problem.
I don't know. Okay, let's hear the advice.
The advice is, seeing your mother-in-law turn herself into a human pacifier must have been quite a shock. First of all, Prudence.
I would have smacked that boob so hard. It wouldn't have been able to function like that anymore.
Your poor infant son must have been wondering why his mom's abundant supply was now Sahara dry.
Oh, damn.
Prudence, come on.
Oh, snap.
She's got to be dipping into E. Jean's wine as she's writing this. Are you kidding? To be this, like, light-hearted with such a serious thing. At least you don't say that your mother-in-law gave some cockamamie excuse that she was just trying to protect your son from, bifenyl A in his baby bottle nipple. That is the plastic.
Yeah.
You can't.
Better to have that.
Right. But the fact that this letter is about your mother-in-law's nipple is enough to give everyone feelings of morning sickness.
Okay.
Prudence.
Oh, my God.
Prudence.
Wow, the preamble. The wind-up and the pitch.
New parents get into all sorts of hassles with the grandparents over different styles of raising kids.
No, this is not in that category.
Prudence just wasted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sentences that were just totally not needed. But this is the first time I've ever heard a young mother having to say to her mother-in-law, and I'd prefer that you didn't put your breast in little Jason's mouth.
That's a nice way to say it.
Yeah. I completely understand your need to ask her to leave, but though your complaint would be classic on the police blotter, it's not a matter for law enforcement. Yeah, your husband needs to have a very serious talk with his mother about boundaries, emotional and physical.
Okay. So let me just say, what? Yeah. I don't understand.
I don't understand, first, the whole thing. And I don't understand Prudence's, like...
But, I mean, yeah. I agree with her in the fact that there's... the police are not going to know what to do.
No.
I'm telling you now, they're not going to be able to handle the situation.
No.
They're just going to be... They're going to be scratching their heads, and then they're going to be going back with coffee and then telling everybody.
Right.
Morty.
Yeah. And somebody, they're going to tell anecdotes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it'll be a police blotter thing.
Right.
But.
And he needs to explain that if she can't respect and understand them, she will not have access to the grandchild. She shouldn't have access.
Why does the husband have to explain that? This is a woman-to-woman conversation.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You think?
Why pass the buck? The husband didn't see it.
Well, the husband, the typical husband
thing. What's he going to say?
Well, he's got to handle it. I think the husband's got to handle it. I think so.
It's bad enough that that's his mom.
That's the typical thing. Like, the mother-in-laws do stuff, and then, like, the husband remains silent. Like, I'm not going to say anything.
But they should, okay, how about this? They both have the conversation together. Because I don't think this is something for one of them to handle.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, okay.
Like, first of all, this mother has got to say something.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say something?
Yeah, absolutely.
There would be nothing to handle. She'd be calling the cops on me.
Yeah.
Are you... kidding me?
Right.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah, I agree. They both should have this conversation. And then she also...
the moment when they pull back and the camera and the person's like, ah!
Right.
Like,
the what's behavior going on? Is so bizarre. There's something wrong with the mother. And she needs some mental health help. That's all.
At least a slap in the face, minimum.
In any case, if she keeps buttoned up, she would be allowed to have access to your son. But I understand that it's a long time before she makes it in the babysitting roster.
Yeah, that's inappropriate.
Yeah.
Behavior.
Yeah, that's no. She would not be around any child alone again.
Nope. And if she tries to say anything about it, I'm telling everybody.
I wonder what her reasoning is.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I would just love to hear it.
It really, like, that's too much. You can't, she can't be trusted.
No.
You can't just slip a nipple into some kid's mouth.
You can't. No.
Unless you're the mother or you're a wet nurse.
And yeah, and you're right.
Like,
and
no.
It's 1842.
Yes.
Right.
You don't. It's so bizarre.
It's so strange. But you know, come on. I think Prudence was just too light.
Too light on the mother.
Too light. No, just light-handed. Like kind of like
flip with it.
Flip.
She should have
exactly.
come in hot. Guns
yeah.
blazing.
Yeah,
but she's right. The police are not going to be able to do anything about that at all.
Marshall. No, she just needs to leave and not come back.
So I found this. It says application questions that make you think. So I just applied for graduate school.
Congratulations!
Thank you. But I didn't have to. They didn't ask a question. They just tell you to make a personal statement, which is good.
My statement
yes.
is.
Yes.
I feel it should be equality.
About the topic. It's
oh.
open-ended,
okay.
but it made me think, like, you know when you're applying to college and they ask you all these, like, off-the-wall questions?
Mm-hmm.
So it's application season. It says schools are getting creative with the essay prompts. They used to say, why do you want to go to school here? Legitimate.
Yeah, sure.
Or tell us what makes you special. Mm-hmm. Legitimate, once
all
again.
Right.
But people are saying that this is old school and they're getting creative. So University of Chicago, their question is, little pigs... French hens, a family of bears, blind mice, musketeers, the fates, parts of an atom, stay with me, laws of thought, a guideline for composition, omne trium perfectum, create your own group of three, and describe how and why they fit together.
What? No. So a
That's
group
the
of
question.
Three.
Yeah.
And then
so
you have to...
The three little pigs, three French hens, a family of bears, laws of thought, fates, parts of an atom... Create your own group of three and describe why and how they fit together. I probably would not be going to University of Chicago.
I'd be like a foot, a sock, and a shoe.
I know.
They go together.
Here's how they go together. First, the sock
goes on the foot.
Goes on the foot,
and then
goes in
the
shoe.
And then you walk, and that's
yes.
why.
And I have a 4.0, so how about that? Like, here are three things that go together. Honorable mention. Here's another question from them. Were pH an expression of personality? What would be your pH and why?
Well, how far does pH go? What is the scale of pH?
I'm just thinking about antiperspirants.
Yeah, but like that and acidity and what is it? Alkaline and acidity. That's all I'm thinking about. Now, like, my personality just went out the window.
We would not go to University of Chicago,
no.
probably. Here's another one from Tufts University. What does hashtag YOLO mean to you?
Oh, no.
Or you could answer that question, or you could celebrate your nerdy side in 200 to 250 words. Why even bother?
Yo, I'm not going here. Is what
That's
YOLO
exactly.
means, basically.
YOLO. What does YOLO mean to me? 2000 late. Hashtag. Let's see. Here's another one. Dartmouth College. When you meet someone for the first time, what do you want them to know about you?
Yo, lost another student.
But,
how about that?
But generally, don't tell them. Why would you answer that? This is when you meet someone for the first time, what do you want them to know about you, but generally don't tell them?
Okay, here's one.
Do I want to know?
Yes, this is totally true. And this is a secret.
Okay, well, not anymore. It's like an Oprah secret.
Yeah.
You can tell me.
I have 10 fingers, but 11 fingernails.
Are you serious?
It's just a little tiny one that grows.
I thought something was up. So you are not going to Dartmouth.
No.
Then there's University of Virginia. What's your favorite word and why? My favorite word is motherfucker.
Right.
I'm not going to University
of
Virginia.
Oh, is this the Proust test that they do?
That's
The Proust questionnaire that they do on the actor studio.
Here's the honorable mention for their other question was to tweet or not to tweet.
No.
Oh, why don't they just go back to writing up? This convinces me that these things don't mean
anything at
all.
This is for amusement.
Oh, here's another one from Stanford. Write a note to your future roommate that reveals something about you or that will help you or your roommate and us know you better. Don't fuck with my shit. On a post-it note. That's all.
And when you see a sock on the door handle.
Yeah, you know what that means.
Just go the other way.
Go the other way. I mean, honorable mention, what matters to you and why? Getting into this college. Let's just do this. It's just so bizarre. I would be so annoyed by this.
This is all for the amusement of the admissions staff. That's all.
And and a lot of these are 200 to 250 words. That's like a paragraph?
Yeah.
It's hard for me to write like a 100-word bio. I know you've had to do this before.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I just get through the name, a couple of things, and already I'm like 400 words.
Right.
250 words.
250. It's just kind of, Prudence did better in her preamble to the advice.
Maybe that's what I would just write advice. You know what you need to do? Let me say what's important to you.
What's important to me?
Here's what should be important to you.
First, a nice fitting pair of pants.
Yes. Well, shoes, number one. Footwear is important to me.
Right.
All right. What do you have?
Well, we have a listener comment.
Oh, really? Okay. A comment?
A listener comment from Eric H.
Okay. And I think Eric H. already has a shot glass.
Yeah. But yeah, so he writes to us and he put it right there on the Podbean site.
Okay. Right all up on the Podbean site. We didn't even know that was possible.
I know. We were so amazed that it happened. In previous episode, listeners, we reported on the homeless.
I feel like I should have a clip from the previous episode.
I did that 80s style.
Yes. Last
on
week.
On Hill Street Blues. Yes. Can I remember?
Oh, that guy showed his butt and then the show was over.
No, right? Yes. Jumped the shark with that. Anyway, so we talked about the homeless pickup artist, which was a guy who is in New York City, a young man who likes to party and he sleeps on the street and he goes home with women, picks them up. They don't know he's homeless.
He has sex with them and uses their shower.
Right. Yeah. And then goes rinse, repeat.
Yeah, rinse.
Right.
Rinse and repeat.
So Eric writes, I saw the homeless pickup artist on the southwest corner of 22nd and Park Avenue.
The specificity.
Yes. He was chatting up an army fatigue wearing female street urchin with a dog.
A street urchin?
Yeah. She was sitting cross-legged on the sidewalk with a handwritten sign soliciting donations for her and her pooch.
Okay.
Since she was clearly homeless and the conversation didn't look flirty, I couldn't determine his end game.
Maybe as a tag team.
Yeah. Right? Right. She puts like a shoe in the door so then he could come in and shower while she's getting busy. Perhaps they were trading survival tips. He was going for the frat boy look. Short sleeve shirt, shorts, and flip-flops.
Mm-hmm.
But his hair was greasy, the body unwashed, the clothes were worn, and feet filthy.
Oh, see, we were right. He does have a problem.
I had previously seen his online magazine profile. They captured his best side. In person, he looks like he could pass for an actor, for actor Barbie Cannavale's schlubby troubled brother.
Oh. So this guy needs to get it together.
He does.
Because as Katie has said before, if the feet are jacked up, times are tough.
That's a giveaway, everyone. When you know someone's really not playing around when their feet are messed up.
Their feet are a mess.
Yeah.
Hey, You Know It is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com.
So I have a piece of robot news.
Robot news?
Yes.
Sweet.
Because the robot apocalypse is upon us. This will be the last thing. We can do the one. The robot apocalypse is upon us. Katie and I are freaked out by the coming robot apocalypse. It's next year.
And 2015 is going to be happening. And all year.
Korea. All year. January 1st it kicks off and it closes with Armageddon at the end.
Right.
Skynet's activated at Christmas of next year. So this is a ping pong playing robot to seek factory job. So basically they've created this robot that can play ping pong against you.
Okay.
It looks like a praying mantis.
Oh.
And it has a gigantic triangular head.
How tall is it?
It hovers. It's like 7 or 8 feet tall. It hovers over the entire table.
You said that way too casually. The praying mantis robot that's 7 or 8 feet tall.
It hovers over the entire table and it can hit, it can do a volley between like 4 and 20 times with you. Now this is ping pong. Ping pong is a very difficult game to play, and it takes a lot of fine motor skills to play it.
Right. So this is...
It says if you slam the ball, though, it'll probably miss. So, but the idea behind this ping pong playing robot is not to create a world champion. It's called Omron. That's not even Omron. They're using this prototype to explore more flexible, intelligent robots for factories and other workshop or other work environments. Like drilling things, you know, like assembling stuff in a factory.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying what's great about Omron is that it doesn't look like a person.
That's the great thing. That's great.
That's the good thing about it. So it's Omron is working on humanizing the robot so man and machine can get along. And it's got simulated facial expressions. Mm-hmm. And the picture, it has one eye and what looks like a mouth.
No. And what looks
and
like
they're
a mouth.
Saying,
don't get them confused.
The praying mantis body shape also begins to grow on you. It becomes less menacing the longer you play ping pong as it. How?
How could that ever?
As it starts to track and move faster and faster and figure out how you move, the thing's holding a paddle. And it's enormous hand.
And it moves fast. Oh my God, this is the most frightening thing I've ever... There's going to be an army of them.
Yep. The robot, it looks kind of like the Lord of the... Not Lord of the Rings.
It's...
What's the one with Tom Cruise remade the movie? War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds.
It kind of looks like it has a gigantic...
I'm thinking also about Signs. with Mel Gibson.
So it said, in some ways, the robot concepts Omron is working with the best in what U.S. companies are experimenting with. Because they have the same goal. A robot that can adjust to existing circumstances and that people get along with it. But the Rethink, this is another company, their robots look like people and have mechanical fingers, which they said people will feel freaked out by that in displays. However, this other robot looks like a giant pliable praying mantis. And I can see people getting along with it.
No way. No, but... And... That's
Katie, the head of this thing is like, if you curl up in a ball, that's approximately the size of the head of this thing. It's gigantic praying mantis head. It's like I said, 7 or 8 feet tall.
With
it's
one eye.
About maybe 5 feet wide.
Get out.
At the base. And it has a little hand that can hold a paddle.
And a gun.
Yes, a gun. For search and rescue.
Right. Right.
Is that scary?
Or for surgery.
I just, what
if
freaks
they can
me
hold a
out,
tool for surgery.
And listeners, if you have a chance, go online and look at some of DARPA's stuff. It's the movement of the robots that is freaks me out. The quickness of it and the how disciplined the movement is. It's not fluid like our movement, and it just looks really weird and freaky.
Oh, God. As I said before, there's going to be an army of these. They're learning our movements, and they're learning how fast we react and what we do.
People,
and
it starts with ping pong, next squash, and before you know it, tennis. And then world domination. It's just so, and the people are thinking this is a good idea, and they don't see how this is not going to be a good thing.
Nobody gets it except us and our listeners.
Just the idea that they were like, this giant praying mantis thing is less frightening than a humanoid robot.
And here's another thing about the praying mantises: the actual creature is protected. It's an offense to kill praying mantises.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you're not supposed to. Whoops. It's against the law. So we're already programmed now to not want to hurt this thing.
Either that or people are going to have a knee-jerk reaction.
They're gonna...
And start, where I'm from, the praying mantises are huge.
Yeah, they're big.
They are in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see one that's incredibly large, and they are killers. Why can't we make
They make karate moves. That's a lot of karate moves were made because the karate masters
the praying mantis.
Studied the moves of the praying mantis because they're ferocious killers.
How about, like, I don't know, can we get a robot that's like looks like a puppy? You know, like something that's a little less...
Make it soft.
A tribble.
Right.
You know what I mean? Something a little less frightening. Something that just makes
just a hamster.
Noise. Yeah, just a small hamster that's, you know, not for search and rescue of any kind. But it's just friendly and nice.
Serves us drinks.
Yeah.
Gives a foot massage.
Oh, my God. This is a great idea. Yeah. This hamster-like robot that could rub a foot and make a cocktail.
Yeah.
It's genius. Work on that, China.
Yeah. Come on, DARPA. Get on that. We need an army of those.
But, yeah, the robot praying mantis, I don't know.
I wonder if DARPA's listening, because if they are...
Why would they? Maybe one person at DARPA was listening and they fired him. for lazing on the job.
Right.
A giant praying mantis. What's the? You know what would be less scary?
What?
How about like a python robot? That sounds like a really unscary idea for people.
Right.
I don't know what else. Like, I don't know. Roaches. People like the way that roaches look.
Right.
That
would be
not scary robot.
A 7-foot roach.
Yeah. I hesitate to even say it, but I know the monkey robot's coming.
Oh, the monkey robot is. Oh,
and it's gonna be wearing clothes.
Oh, and I would love that. And a jaunty hat.
They haven't
a fascinator.
Shown it. It's so frightening. They haven't shown it to us yet.
Yeah.
We've seen everything else. We have not seen a monkey robot. I wonder if monkeys are like, just try it. Just try it.
Right. Let's see. Maybe they're the one. Yeah.
Do it.
Well,
we're
there
ready.
Was the one that climbed up the building that I showed you.
I'm waiting for something that actually just looks like a full-on monkey.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Scary.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows. And yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks.
Look at it. You gotta look at it.
Two penises? Do you have advice? What should he do?
What do we think about?
Just quick penis news.
Just one card for the guy with two penises.
We're here.
We're recording. Okay.
Bonus session. We're just here quickly with Marcy Currier. She's gonna pull a card on the guy who has two dicks.
This is recently came to light that there was a man with two penises. And yeah. he
And they're uncircumcised, Katie said.
Yeah, and they talked to
they're uncut.
And he talked about it, and there were pictures. And this has been making the rounds throughout the
How is this guy already not in porn? How old is he? He's had these two dicks.
So he has two penises. So, Marcy, what is your advice?
What's your advice?
One card for him. We have the Two of Swords reversed.
Two of Swords? Are you kidding me?
One thing that says to me is that two is not really necessarily better than one. Because instead, it's not like... You have the one... One is not less than two in this particular.
Yes.
Moment, you know?
I bet you his wife has three vaginas and can't be fulfilled. That's how it is with that guy.
That's how it works.
Yeah. You know? Nobody gets
in
ahead.
In his world.
Yeah.
But yeah, he should definitely be.
He says he's
capitalizing on this.
Yeah. He should be doing porns, right?
He uses them both.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Thank you for that, Marcy.
Right. Thank you, guys.
Bonus.
I can't believe two of them.